Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple.
I don't want to be a superman. I just want to go somewhere. Use my hands and keep it simple.
Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church.
So, Gavin, what's on your mind this week?
Well, first of all, I want to welcome everyone here because we're actually standing, we're actually recording live today from a very, this is a very secretive location.
It's our inner layer, inner sanctum.
This is the Jokester. You're coming live at you today from Jokester Records Studios, a.k.a. my basement. And we're recording the podcast down here today. Glad to have Tom visiting me at my home as we knock out an episode here. And so today on the podcast, we hope you guys have been first of all, I want to thank you all. We have been receiving a couple of notes and emails from folks. I really appreciate that. Those of you that listen and letting us know you're out there. And, you know, if one person finds this podcast encouraging, we've done our job. Tom and I started out doing this, I guess, a lot for selfish reasons. It gave us a good opportunity to get together every so often and talk about what God was doing, house church ideas, struggles, victories, those sorts of things. So just want to thank those of you out there. If there's one or two, that's great. And if there's a lot more, that's fine too. But I appreciate you all saying hello to us. And today we're here in my basement. That's right. This is actually the all-purpose room. We've got my computer. We've got the homeschooling setup. We've got the TV. We've got the lounge chair, the futon, all this and about, I don't know, 100 square feet.
Forget the chin-up bar.
And the chin-up bar that gets wore out by all my kids. So I was encouraging Tom to do some chin-ups before we started, and he was scared. So maybe next time. But if you guys have been following us, man, we really appreciate it. And if you're not, this is your first podcast. We restarted the podcast about, 10 episodes ago. I think it was on episode 60 or something like this.
But it was early 2016.
Yeah, and we sort of rebooted, and we've been kind of tackling this whole idea of house church, simple church, organic church. We've been kind of coming at it week by week, reintroducing topics that we talked about back in the early days of this podcast, but we've certainly evolved and changed as we've been on this journey, and we thought it'd be good to sort of restart and take a look at things again and share fresh updates and insights to the journey. So if you're new to it, maybe go back to Keep It Simple podcast or on iTunes. Go back about 10 episodes. I think you'll see the one, I think it's called What Is the Church Anyway? Or something like that as the topic of it. And that's sort of where we got restarted off. So today we want to talk about a topic that's really important, though, to me. And it's sort of a big reason of why I'm doing this. We've touched on it before, but it's this idea of multiplication. And that's a big buzzword these days. I feel like everybody talks about multiplication, Tom. But what is multiplication? What do we mean when we say we're doing simple church? We hope to see simple churches multiply. What do we mean when we say that? How do we do that? What might be some ways that can happen? What might be some bad ways to try to make that happen unnaturally? And that's sort of what we want to talk about today.
Yeah. And when I think of multiplication, you know, it's easy in North America to think about, well, let's just make more churches. Let's just make more churches. And that's important, but it's also a part of the Great Commission that Jesus told us, make disciples. He didn't necessarily tell us make more churches. He told us make more disciples. And in the book of Acts, you know, we read, you know, there's 3,000 disciples added to their number that one day. So when we think of multiplication, you know, that's certainly an explosion of multiplication that we don't often see. You know, we pray for that. But by multiplication, we're talking about, especially the multiplication of churches, is hopefully as we're gathering disciples and making disciples, we got to have a place to put them and where they will grow and evangelize others. So we can't just keep putting them in one room or one building. We have to make places for them. And that's even a bad terminology, is make a place for them, because, you know, as we talk about multiplication, we need to remember that, you know, we are the church. Churches aren't buildings. They're not places to go necessarily, but churches are gatherings of people, followers of Jesus. We're the body of Christ. So, yeah, church multiplication is very important because, you know, the hypothetical is, what if something happened to your church, like happened to, in the book of the second chapter of Acts? What if you had 3,000 converts just suddenly show up at your door? What would you do with them?
You know? Yeah, and so, yeah, I think it's, you know, and the Bible, I think God is a God of multiplication. You know, in the beginning, he told us to be fruitful and multiply. Exactly. And the command, the Great Commission itself is inherently a multiplicative idea, to go out and make disciples who can make other disciples, who can make other disciples. And this idea, you know, God, I think when we follow Christ, when we're obeying what he's saying, and we're in tune with him, we can expect for multiplication of followers of Christ to happen. And thus, that would mean the multiplication of churches if we are looking at it specifically from a house church perspective. I mean, I think a lot of folks look at it from a traditional standpoint. They think more in church of terms of church growth, adding people to our already existing church, making more space, as you talked about. You know, that's a very Western traditional church idea. But when house church, when we talk about simple church and house church and organic church, we really are talking about multiplying churches, families of followers of Christ, people who are following Jesus together in community. And as people are added, you know, if you add even 10 people to your house church next week, then you probably are already at a place where now you fundamentally change what your community looks like. And there could become people could come and actually spectate and not really have the opportunity to interact and do the things that we try to do in simple church. And so this idea of multiplication is very important, and we've touched on this before. It's so important, I think, that everything we do is with this hope in mind. Now, this might happen, you know, at full disclosure, I don't want to talk about this as if, you know, I'm a part of this grand of seeing true multiplication happen. I'm hoping to see that happen, and I'm trying to hold firm to the principles of multiplication with the hope that the Lord will cause multiplication to happen in our community. But I don't want to sit here and talk about it as if I think it is happening. In fact, that's something of a pet peeve of mine. This idea of multiplying churches is such a buzzword. I think very little, most of what we're seeing when people talk about that, if you look into it, you're actually just seeing addition. One church adds one church or two churches over the course of 5 years or whatever. And sometimes that's at best. And I think that's good, by the way.
It's always good.
Yeah. Sometimes maybe when it's not so good, it's actually, we're really just talking about division. We just take one church, split it in two, and we start another church and we say we've multiplied. We really just divided the people that we already had and made them go meet in another building or something, you know. And that's not what we're talking about. So in simple church, my hope and a lot of the reason why I'm even doing this is for the hope of seeing a true movement, a multiplicative movement happen in our country and in our city. And you know, there's not a ton of that happening in the ways that maybe we might read about in, say, China, for example, or India or some of these other places. But it's something that I believe God is going to do in our country. And I think he's calling folks, perhaps you, if you're listening to this podcast, to be some of the folks who lay the groundwork for that to happen. And, you know, we have to be prepared for God's Spirit to move. And when God does move, we have to be, there's going to have to be a group of people, hopefully we'll be a part of that, who are thinking and prepared to be able to spur on a true multiplication movement of churches in our country. And that's kind of what we want to do. It's one of the reasons why we do simple church. Not the only reason, but a big one for me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Tom, when you think, you know, and this is something I know you and I have talked about a lot, but what do you think, as you think about multiplying house churches and disciples, and you touched on this a little bit, but what are some of the things you think are really important for that to be able to happen?
First of all, I think it's real important that you start off with the mindset and the attitude that as you go into this thing, you are going to multiply. things are going to change. If you come into a room of 10 people and you start to feel comfortable with them week after week after week, and you start developing friendships, and you really get to know these people, and you're encouraging one another, and you just really enjoy hanging out, just remember that if you're really serious about multiplication, your church is going to look a little different in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years. And if you're looking for this utopia where I just want to worship with these few people and that's it, I like this small culture, then you're really kind of defeating the purpose of multiplication, and you're just being comfortable and you're inward looking. We talked about being inward focused a couple of weeks ago. So church multiplication is radical change over time, and your church is going to look different. You're going to be worshiping with different people. You're going to be making more disciples. You're going to be, you know, encouraging them, bringing them along. So it's going to look different over time.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, what I'm hearing you say, and I would agree, is that from day one, when you start out meeting in your simple church, and if it's already more than day one for you, then next Sunday or Saturday or whenever it is you get together, the first thing, you know, I think communicating this vision of multiplication, yes, is very important.
It needs to be a foundation.
And that's something that, you know, you can't say it too many times that, hey, as we're here, you know, in a way that you might say this, or a way I've said this before, is to remind folks to say, hey, just a reminder, everybody, the reason we do this in this small way is that we believe this is important to disciple making. And as we think about adding people to our group and growing, we're not just going to keep adding people into this little room. Our whole hope in doing this is that we can spur on new simple churches and new communities like ours. And so, that's a big prayer request. You know, bring it up as a prayer request each week. Lord, multiply our community. Make statements like that I just kind of gave an example of, to put that vision in front of people, to always be reminding folks that we're here and we're praying and expecting God to use us to bring new people into the kingdom, not just shift people from different churches, but to see new people come into the kingdom and to see them then become a part of a family of faith like the one we have here. And so keep communicating that vision. You don't have to spell out the details of how that might could work every week, but I think keeping that matter before people in prayer, making sure that if you're sort of the leader of the simple church, that that you don't let that vision escape the minds and the hearts of people. Because, you know, I think everything is always a good idea to kind of start with the beginning with the end in mind. And
right.
And so many times in regular churches, any kind of churches, we do this, we kind of start this thing, but we don't really have the end in mind. And what is the end? The end is that we want to see the gospel and the kingdom grow. And multiplication is the way that can happen in simple church. So very, very good. What, you know, another thing that I think is really important in this is that we think a little bit in the terms of how might this happen. And so how might we multiply? How might God, or how has God in the past, maybe it would be a question, helped somebody go from one simple church to multiple simple churches? That again, I think this is a distinction. If something's multiplying, it's not stopping. Sometimes we might go from one simple church to three simple churches, and we think that's, you know, that's multiplying. I've heard some people say, well, it's not really multiplication until there's four generations. So how do you go to those new churches then? Are they starting new churches? And are those new churches then starting new churches? Is there this DNA of reproduction there? And I think when that happens, that's what I would consider to be real multiplication. And we've seen some of that starting to happen. We've seen probably churches out to the three generations, maybe in one case, four generations, but, that's what we're really hoping to see. So how does that happen? What might be some ways that can happen, or ways you've read about or seen happen, Tom?
Well, I haven't seen it happen. Maybe you've seen it to the fourth generation. I've not experienced it directly, but I've read about it. And where you read about it the most are areas that are totally unlike North America. And I'm talking about, you know, where God is moving among the nations. God is doing something among a people overseas or poor people somewhere. And it demonstrates to me that this is truly a movement of the Holy Spirit and not something that we can manufacture. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, we can do things that will try to create an environment where people can hear the Holy Spirit and do this. But as far as can you and I train people to multiply? Well, we can train people to do things that will encourage multiplication, but it's really up to God to make the multiplication happen. I mean, we can do things like train leaders to find other leaders and train them. And we can do things like, you know, cast vision and say, look, this church is going to look different next year if we're doing the right things. And we're going to bring new people in. And every time we bring someone in, it's going to change our culture and just get used to it.
Yeah.
We can do those things, and we can do our best practices and techniques and things like that. But, you know, I think as Neil Cole and David Garrison and George Patterson, all these people who have written about this and experienced it, we can do those things, but it's really, really up to God to make it happen, to cause that. It's like nuclear fission. We can put the elements together, but God has to, like, split the atom, you know?
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. In fact, you know, I think, you know, that's one of the things sometimes I even, to be honest with you, I sometimes get this whole idea, it can wear on you because you think, well, why isn't this happening? Or there, you get these, people can take these ideas of how it's supposed to happen and they create this formula. And it's like, if you're not doing it this way, then you're failing or it's not working. And that happens in every facet of life, and in simple church is no different. But, you know, here's some things I've observed, okay? I've observed a couple of house churches that have sent a couple, or one house church in particular, they sent two couples, sort of their group had grown. And so rather than splitting the group down the middle, there was two families that were proximity to one another, and they had some new friends that were thinking of maybe being involved in Simple Church. So rather than just adding to the size of the group, they left that group to start a new group, a new Simple Church with some of their friends. And that first Simple Church really had a lot of prayer and a lot of really kind of hands-on, you know, encouragement to that. And I think that's what probably happens a lot of times. You know, I think a great way to do it is as you're, you know, is kind of referring back to the Life Transformation Group episode we did a few weeks ago. That, you know, I think that's a very natural way as you're meeting with folks one-on-one or in groups of two or three, doing something like a Life Transformation Group. Church is going to come up, and rather than inviting them even to your house church, you can say, how about I help, would you be interested in me and my family joining you to help you start a church like ours? And that might be for you know, a year or two. It might be for a month or two, as to help them get going. Every situation might be unique. But, you know, I think that one of the things as we talk about, you know, and I've got a podcast, maybe we can link it up to there on our Keep It Simple site, Tom. I wrote a podcast or a blog a while back, 8 ways to start simple churches, that we could refer to that. And I think I've seen all those sort of things happen. But one of the things, and you alluded to this, and I hope this will be an encouragement to everyone, is that I think God is going to multiply simple churches, and it may not be always traceable back to your direct actions, or at least your direct intentionality. And, you know, I mentioned to you when I came here, that here would be this would be a perfect example, I think, of this. Like yesterday, I had the opportunity here in town. I visited 3 different simple churches, none of which that I'm regularly a part of. But one was the skate church I used to be directly a part of. There's also a golf church that has started up at a country club that's very different. It's actually mostly, it's very different than what I would probably even recommend. It's basically a speaker at this point right now. They have a speaker and some fellowship and things, and people play golf afterwards. But, and then also there's a guy who started up a simple church in the Ultimate Frisbee community.
How cool.
And
cool.
So they call it Disciples, with the emphasis on the
Disciples.
It's kind of funny. But all three were very unique, and all three were really awesome.
Uh-huh.
I was a part of the skate church, so I maybe had some direct involvement in helping get that going. But like the golf church, it was some people that had met me, heard what we were doing, and I met with them a few times. They just kind of started doing it. The guy that started the other, you know, I did not do anything intentionally to try to help them start, and there was no simple church that tried to help them get that thing going. But I will say this, that all three of those other ones, they all had heard about what people were doing and felt encouragement to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can't neglect that. And I hope that's an encouragement, right? You may not be thinking, well, gosh, we're not really multiplying our group, or I'm not sure how we're doing that. If you're meeting and you're being faithful to Christ and you're reaching out and you're meeting in house churches and you're staying true to your convictions about that, and God's, you know, blessing you and your family, like, just the mere fact you're doing it, I think it does encourage multiplication. People that see you doing it, hear you about you're doing it, it becomes a little less weird, perhaps. And people see you doing it, and then they may, the Lord will prompt them without you giving them some sort of step to follow to say, hey, we could do this in our neighborhood, or why don't we do this at the golf course, or we've got this group of people that we do this ultimate frisbee thing with, and why don't we start reaching out to them and inviting them into some sort of Christ-centered community. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to encourage people with that, not as a way of saying don't be intentional. That's not, don't take it as that, because I think we should be intentional in this, yeah. Right? Everything we should do should be done with reproduction in mind, and we should be praying for the Lord to add to our number and for Him to expand the kingdom, and we should be laying a foundation that allows that to happen. And there'll be some ways we'll talk about doing that even more in a podcast we're going to do later on, kind of more on leadership type issues. But I want to encourage folks that the fact that you're meeting and you're staying true to it, and you're showing people that, hey, this is a viable way, that in of itself will help foster multiplication. And so be encouraged about that.
Yeah. And my final thought on this is, I'm a little older than you, so I'm kind of, you know, my development happened in the 80s, my spiritual development in the 80s, 90s. And that was back when leadership training was really popular. Excellence in ministry was really popular. So we get this ingrained attitude that we have to, if we're going to have a movement of multiplication, then we have to manage it. We have to order it, and we have to take credit for it, and we have to track it. And, you know, I would encourage us to not completely let go of those notions, but just relax and allow God to do what He's going to do as we are faithful to obeying Him, and watch what He does. Because if we try to do it, it's not going to work. You know, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. So, let's do those foundational things. Let's do those vision casting things, but let's not try to manage it. And if a church is growing, you know, and we didn't have anything to do with it, let's not try to take credit for it and bring it into our umbrella or anything. Just let's praise God for it.
Amen.
And move on.
And sometimes, you know, I'm always reminded that, you know, when we're in this kind of thing, like, and we don't generally think of it this way, but it literally, the thing that could begin a movement of multiplication in disciples and simple churches in your community, literally, it could just be inviting, it could just be the person you meet at the grocery tomorrow that you care enough to talk to them and tell them ask them how they're doing. And that will lead to maybe a conversation, and that might lead to them coming to Christ. And that might lead to them saying, well, gosh, I have 10 friends that I would love to have a church like yours with, and they might just go and do it themselves. And there it goes. And you really just, all you did was love your neighbor as yourself at the grocery store. And that literally, you know, it's not some big strategy other than just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and just loving people in Christ's name and sharing your faith with them and sharing Christ with them and encouraging people to pursue Christ. When we do that, that a lot of times is what starts movements of God. It's just one person sharing with one other person.
And then I said that was my final thought. I got one more thought, so this will be my final thought on it. I was just reading, I'm studying the letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, and I noticed that, you know, when Jesus commends a church, he has the most commendation for churches that are really, really experiencing tribulation and suffering. And those are the churches that seem to be doing the most. So whether it's cause and effect, you know, if I suffer, I do more for God, or I suffer because I'm doing more for God, you know, or I want to suffer. Be aware that if we're going to have a miraculous, you know, multiplication like that, it's not going to come from the ease and comfort of the way we know Christianity in the West.
Yeah.
It's gonna come from suffering and persecution and tribulation, which we may experience here in the West pretty soon, but it's not gonna be comfortable. It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna be easy, and it's not going to be comfortable. So if you think you're just gonna do it comfortably, think again.
Well, that's a great note to sort of wrap that up on. One thing we want to do, this is an idea we're going to throw out here today. We're going to give this a shot, but we're going to start a little segment. We're going to try to end our podcast talking about some other stuff that we like, Tom. And
I like ice cream.
Tom likes ice cream. He's going to probably be talking about food. But one of the things we thought it'd be fun to do is that end each episode and give this a shot for a while, and you can let us know if you like it or not. But you know, I'm all the time stumbling across things that I really like to tell other people about. And one of the things that I like to tell other people about oftentimes are podcasts. I didn't really listen to podcasts until we started doing this one, Tom, but I've really gotten into a lot of them. And one of those podcasts, which is actually where I got this idea for stuff we like, I'd like to pass on you guys as a...
We're totally stealing your idea.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. But there's a guy named Andrew Klavan, and
my apologies to Andrew Klavan for stealing his idea.
And if you're into if you like politics, if you want to hear a commentary on politics in a very fun, witty way, but also that has some really good nuggets of just things to think about. I don't agree with 100% of anything anybody ever says, but I really enjoyed. A friend of mine turned me on to him. And he's a Hollywood screenwriter and written a lot of books. He's also grew up Jewish and became a Christian. Very fun, very witty. He's not a big fan of either of the political candidates. So I'll give you a warning. If that's going to bother you, maybe you won't want to listen to it. But he has a lot of interesting things to say, and it's very fun. And he also does this segment at the end called Stuff He Likes. And it's just been a cool thing to learn about some different books and some different things that he's interested in, and hear about people asking him questions about his faith and talking about his journey to Christ, which is kind of cool. So if you're into podcasts, political commentators, that sort of thing, maybe that might be something that you might like, or perhaps it'll be something that you hate. But either way, it'll be something that'll stimulate your thoughts, I'm sure. What about you, Tom?
I like it. Well, what do I like this week? I just got back from vacation, so I like vacation. I like the beach. I enjoy just slowing down and reading a good book and reading the scriptures and just chilling and being with my wife. And I like vacations a whole lot. So,
where was your vacation?
Oh, we went down to the Gulf Coast, Destin, Florida. We do that almost every year. Spend a week, maybe, if we're lucky, 2 weeks. And it's just a time for us to regroup and chill and recharge our batteries. And
Not have to fly helicopters.
Not have to fly helicopters. Not have to think about helicopters. Not have to think about... podcasts or anything like that.
So. Yeah, because this is torture to think about.
Oh, it is.
I mean, well, that'll do it for today. Thanks for having us and listening today. And we appreciate you all joining us. We'll be back soon for another Keep It Simple podcast.
All right. See you next time. Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com. Or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.